Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. A nasty spate of cycle deaths, culminating in that of 27-year-old Jane Bishop on Auckland's Tamaki Drive, has sparked a debate about how best to protect cyclists on the road, or, if you're a motoring columnist, whether bikes have a right to be on the road at all. Someone who's no stranger to that debate is Barbara Cuthbert, the spokesman for Cycle Action Auckland. She's with us now. Well, Barbara, welcome. I see you've gotten here on your bike.
Of course, it's my only means of transport.
Excellent. Now, we're talking, of course, against the backdrop of a spate of cycle deaths, five. That's been awful, but I get the impression that it has also got people talking, you know, about the problem.
Yeah, it certainly has. It's got cyclists talking, but what I'm really pleased about, it's actually got some people with money in their hands and power to make decisions talking as well. The fact that it's happened 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks, whatever, after Len Brown's election and a new political regime in Auckland means that we actually can talk. And I compare it with what happened last time when we had those cyclists hit on Tamaki Drive.
What happened last time?
Last time we had the cyclists hit, and we had Sean Plunkett ringing me up with John Banks on the phone, and John Banks lecturing me about cyclists and effectively refusing to meet me. So I was really pleased to see that we're having such an amazingly different response this time.
I have to say there's been quite a lot of lecturing of cyclists going on in the newspapers, hasn't there?
Yeah, people love lecturing cyclists. They really do. And you know, my mother rings me every morning and lectures me about cyclists and how all her friends say they go through red lights. So this morning I said to her, look, that's really fine, but next time they do that, just point out to them that actually when cyclists do, they seldom, you know, kill the motorist. And the fact is, you know, in the last, 2 weeks, five cyclists have been killed by motorists not taking due care. So I think we need to get the balance right.
If you look at the stats, though, to be fair, in basically two-thirds of the cases, it's the motorist's fault, isn't it? And one-third, it's basically about 30% of the time that there's cyclists killed or seriously injured, it's the cyclist's fault.
Well, Tamaki Drive, when I was on the forum there, we did the stats for the last 10 years. The crashes there injuring cyclists, 85% of them were caused by motorists not looking and seeing.
Mm. But overall, I mean, do you think that's a fair stat, the 70-30? So we do have to...
Monash University was more like 90%.
Yeah,
This is the New Zealand stats, though. The New Zealand stats say 70-30. And just the point I'm trying to make is that while obviously motorists have to take an awful lot more care, there is some... you know, element of responsibility that cyclists also need to look after themselves. Because, as you say, people turn around straight away and they said, I saw two cyclists on the way here cut through this, or I did this and I did that, I saw cyclists with no helmet, that sort of thing. It's got to be a joint thing, doesn't it? It's not going to be an us or them.
Oh, look, it's really got to be a joint thing. I'm the first to say that cyclists are not angels, by any means. You know, it pisses me off big time when cyclists don't use hand signals. In fact, I'm going to start a new movement. You know, cyclists, raise your hand and use a signal as a sign that we want to stay alive or something like that, you know, because it's a simple thing is to tell the motorist where you're going. And it really annoys me, the people who go through red lights. It does none of us a favour. Simple things, really. You know, you can just get off on Queen Street. I've just come down Queen Street. Get off your bike, walk across with the pedestrians and then get on your bike again. It's not so hard.
I've been talking to some cyclists this week who said actually the events of the last few weeks have resulted in their feeling on the road a bit more consideration being taken already. Is that something you've noticed?
I am amazed by the courtesy. Yeah. I mean, almost people getting out of their cars and sweeping, you know, you first. I've been amazed.
Yeah, I've seen exactly the same thing. I think motorists are very aware of it, which is great.
I think it's given everyone one hell of a shock. And the awful thing was that when it ended with the death of a young woman, and that always makes a difference, let's be honest, and her death was so ghastly, you know, being crushed under a truck and staying alive for a period of time.
The interesting thing about that accident was that the new council has done what the old council wouldn't do, and which you agitated for, which is remove the car parks. And it's four car parks at that particular pinch point on the road.
Yes, that's very true, and they removed them really quick pronto, didn't they?
Let's look at, I mean, therefore, some of the big problems, the overall problems, not necessarily just with that part of the road, but in general, that cause cyclists to be put at risk, and then maybe we can look forward to some solutions.
Look, I think big picture stuff, because it is big picture. I mean, we're not just talking about Auckland, are we? We're talking about right across the country. I think the difficulty that we've had is a really significant increase in cycling right across the country. In the little picture, just looking at the Auckland region, last year we had a 27% increase in the March ARTA count. Auckland City Council area alone, which has always been a hostile area, we had a 40% increase in cycling. Now, these are so what we're saying is that more and more people are taking to their bikes, and I believe more people are taking to their bikes as everyday cyclists. But together with that, we've got more and more agitation and resentment about congestion on the roads. And that came out in the recent council elections, didn't it? You know, where people said, we've had a gutsful of this congestion. So we're putting together a vulnerable group of road users on a highly contested strip of land called our roads. And so that's the big picture stuff. And so what I see is that there simply has not been the investment keeping up with catering for what is a strong public demand. And I believe it's mainstream. You know, when you consider we've got, 4 million odd Kiwis and 1.3 of them own bikes. Well, we're not a freak group, are we?
No. So what would you like to see done? What's on the wish list?
The wish list is very clear and simple. Firstly, getting back to that lack of infrastructure. We're about to start talking to Stephen Joyce already about investment, because when you look at the overall spend on transport, something like, if you're being really generous, 0.6% goes to walking and cycling.
One thing I've heard also in the last couple of weeks is people saying, well, cyclists don't pay to use the roads. Because most of the way that their revenue for transport infrastructure is collected is through petrol taxes, ACC, that sort of thing, isn't it?
No.
No?
No, it's not. Auckland, in the regional area throughout here, the arterial roads or major cycling infrastructure, half of it comes from NZTA, government funds, half comes from the local body. That comes from our rates. I own two properties, one in Devonport, one in Waiheke, and I tell you, I pay huge rates. We own one car in the household, so we're paying our share there as well. Now, I so happen not to be using the roads in a heavy way. You know, I'm just a woman on a bike. So I'm sick to death of this concept. And plus, we pay whacking great taxes as well.
Mm. Well, it's good to get that
so
out
in every. Yeah, I'm yeah, really yeah. glad we raised that issue, because it's just an absolute red herring.
Mm. I have to say, with NZTA, who build the motorways, have actually been quite good for cycling
They've
in the last
been
5 years,
good.
Haven't they?
You're right.
Which is a big irony.
Yeah, I think actually, certainly in the Auckland region, I've found them incredibly helpful, and I'm the first to give bouquets to NZTA whenever they can provide. I mean, remember, they're pinched for budget too. But whenever they can provide a cycleway on a facility and it can be part of the motorway budget, we get it. And I'm really grateful.
Having gone overseas to a lot of, particularly Asian countries, where there's a lot of scooter riders and cyclists around, the whole the way things work seems to be upside down. The motorists are far more aware of cyclists and scooter riders. Do you think it's just going to take a little bit more of time, a little bit more of a tipping point, more people jumping on their bikes and their scooters maybe before we start to see that?
Well, no. Can I guess back that you were asking me the solutions, and I think we've got a bit distracted from that, because the solutions are part of that. Firstly, I believe we'd reach the tipping point. When we've got cycling being a fairly mainstream activity, we're in the early days of the tipping point. But, I mean, I can feel the tip, okay? But, look, I said to you, we need, first of all, more money, because what we want throughout all of our main cities are connected cycle lanes, not ones that abandon you the moment that we most need them. So that's all the way to your main destination. Secondly, in the rural areas, we want shoulders on rural roads, because that's where we've had a lot of the accidents and the deaths occurring. So that's that. That's dealing with infrastructure. Simple, straightforward stuff. The second thing we really need is we need cycle training in schools, and we need cycle training for adults in the community who want to do it. Remember, Cycle Action effectively has very little money, and yet more and more people are emailing us constantly saying, I want to learn to ride my bike for everyday transport. How do I learn to do it? And it's not happening. There's no money around. Well, that, you know, the government, they pay, you know, they're concerned about ACC. Once again, I'm sorry, Mr. Joyce, that's a very sensible thing to be putting money into, because it shouldn't be just left to bodies like us who have no money. And the third thing I think that's really important, and you were talking about it, is messages about sharing the road. And not boring old share the road stuff. I want to have really gutsy, clear stuff saying cyclists use hand signals. You know, don't go through red lights. And motorists, when you're passing cyclists, do this, do that. We actually just need clear instructions to people.
That's fantastic. Look, thank you so much for your time. I'd like to pass on a message to that bus driver who cut me off on the way here with the sign on the back said, leave 1.5 metres for bikes. The irony. If people want more information, they can go to your website?
Yes, love. Yeah, definitely. Cycle Action Auckland website. Another really good one is Cycling Auckland.
Cycling one, in Auckland.
The actual website is cyclingauckland, one word, .co.nz. It's a gorgeous website. I mean, it's just absolutely adored. But the other one is the Cycle Action Auckland website as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Barbara Cuthbert of Cycle Action Auckland there. After the break, Jane Kelsey on the trade agreement we should be wary of, and the debut album from Svelte, who've been around a while.